Silent night, holy night. Europe in the 1800s was a place of great war, turmoil, and upheaval. Even after the Napoleonic Wars officially ended in 1815, its effects continued to take its toll. The year 1816 was one in which national and municipal boundaries were divided, changed, reset. Areas such as the Principality of Salzburg, which had long been standing as an ecclesiastical province of the Christian Church, was put under national authority and secularized. Many industries and trades that certain communities depended upon were destroyed by the wars. They never recovered. And this sent the communities into economic depression. This morning, we journey back to the village of, in Austria. It's a Christmas Eve, 1818. Earlier this date, it was discovered that the organ in St. Nicholas Church would not function. The music planned for the Christmas Eve service could not be used. Father Joseph Moore, the assistant priest, decided to write a new song to be used instead. So he went to the friend of his, to the home of his friend, the musician school teacher Franz Guber, and asked him to write a melody and guitar accompaniment to his earlier poems so that it could be sung at the midnight mass. Since then, the song that we sing is Silent Night, Holy Night. It's largely considered the most translated and sung song in human history. It has been referred to some as the song heard round the world on Christmas Eve, 1944. On various fronts of World War II, it had been reported that the Allied and the Axis soldiers alike stopped their fighting and sung together, Silent Night, Holy Night. Although it was written and composed by Catholics for a Catholic Christmas Eve Mass, the song proved to be much more popular in the Protestant than the Catholic churches because of its meaning of its lyrics. This morning, let us revisit these lyrics through the lens of Scripture.
Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destroyed or destined for burning by the fuel for the fire. For a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with the justice and the righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The story of the Christmas carol is one of how God provided in an amazing and unusual way to meet a pressing need. It is a beautiful illustration of God's provision for us through Christ. if we were really truthful, we would admit that our picture of the birth of Jesus is influenced more by Christmas carols and Christmas cards than the actual account given to us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. That is because the Gospel accounts are a little short on details. The Gospel of Matthew simply says about that wonderful night, Joseph had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of Luke gives us a bit more information. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a band of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but the scripture does not say that Jesus was born in the winter. The celebration of his birth on December 25th has a long and complicated history. No wonder, then, that we depend upon our Christmas carols to draw a fuller picture of the birth of Jesus. Silent night, holy night. We see the jam-packed small town of Bethlehem outside Jerusalem. Caravans of extended families from all over the Near East are stopping and or staying here together for the Roman declared and required census. It is a time of great celebration and family reunions and a return to the town of their forefathers, King David. It's also a time of great distress and troubling over the continued Roman rule and oppression and what this census may ultimately mean for them all. Was this really a silent night? Was this really a holy night? What may have made it so? For whom might it apply? For whom might it not? We see the silence of the masses. One form of silence that may have been evident that night would have been the troubled silence of the masses, a silence of fretful reflection upon the Jewish nation that was and is no more, upon life under an oppression that just seems to increase each day, upon the hopelessness of giving up belief in a Savior and Deliverer, a Deliverer who for so long has never appeared, and upon already greatly stressed family finances that promised to get squeezed beyond breaking after the new census. We see the silence of the faithful. Another very different form of silence this night would have been that of the faithful who continue to quietly cry out to the Lord for his strength, wisdom, and salvation. We hear the noise of the indifferent. For many others, I imagine there is no silence at all. Party like there's no tomorrow may have been their theme. Those among the masses who concluded that there's no going back in the past, no counting on anything for tomorrow, there is only today. So let's make the fleshly best of it. We see heavenly peace has arrived. And into this very environment, not entirely unlike our own today, Jesus, the Christ child, was born, and with him, heavenly peace arrived in the most unlikely of places and means.
Round.
Specifically, as emphasized by the hymn, there was a virgin's peace. Not just any mother, but a virgin mother. Young Virgin Mary had given birth. This birth did not come as the result of a loving and committed sharing with her husband, but in the process of delivering God in the flesh into this needy and desperate world. Even amidst all the pain and confusion of childbirth in a stable, the uncertainties of the future, and the controversies and whispers of disdain about her pregnancy and child, this teenage mother was given a peace that surpasses all understanding. She was at peace in her difficult circumstances, at peace that she yet remained a virgin, at peace about the future of herself, her child, her people, and her world. How? Because she chose, amidst all the unanswered questions and all of the outside pressures, to believe and to accept the words of the Lord.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angels, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, and he will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who has said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
From young Mary, we can learn that the real source of peace in our heart is not our external circumstances, but the natural outworking from the lives of purity and faithfulness according to the words of the Lord. We observe a child's peace. Is there anything in all creation more wonderful than a child at peace?
"Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even in my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God."
What is the key to the child's peace? Absolute trust in the one who is above all. We hope for humanity's peace. Those comforting words, "sleep in heavenly peace," are most naturally and immediately applied to the Christ child in the manger. Still, they could just as well be God's lullaby to each of us who would but believe. Do you ever lay awake at night, fearful, fretting? So many thoughts, so many worries, so much uncertainty and myriad possibilities racing and bumping through your mind? May Christmas remind us all that in Christ, and because of Christ, we may all sleep in heavenly peace, no matter the times, world, or circumstances in which we live. The world is absolutely in Christ's hands. All power and authority have been given unto him, and he has already done all that is necessary to secure our presence and our future salvation. The peace of all humanity is not dependent on the present state of our world. Rather, it is dependent upon and in whom and what our faith truly lies. We are told the anointed Savior is born.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory
Given such a glorious silence as that of the faithful in awestruck reflection, must soon be broken. Why? Because the glorious news must be celebrated and spread. A young boy went into the pet shop to look for a puppy. The owner showed the boy a litter of puppies in a box at the back of the store. After a couple of minutes, he went back to the owner and said, "I picked out one. How much will it cost?" The owner gave him the price, and the boy promised to return in a few days with the money. The owner said, "Don't take too long. Puppies sell quickly." The boy replied, "I'm not worried. Mine will still be here." The little boy worked hard, and he saved his money, and when he had enough, he returned to the store. He went up to the counter and presented the store owner with a wad of money. The owner patiently counted out the money and told the boy, "All right, go get your puppy." The boy reached in and he pulled out a skinny little dog with a limp leg and started to leave. The owner said, "You don't have to take that puppy, son. He's crippled. He can't play. He'll never run with you. He can't fetch. Take one to the healthy puppies." The boy turned around and said, "No, thank you, sir. This is exactly the kind of puppy I've been looking for." As the boy began to turn, the owner suddenly understood. Extending out from under the bottom of the boy's pants was a brace for his leg. The boy knew how the puppy felt and rescued it. Jesus knows how we feel. He became one of us. And because he was one of us, but without sin, he was able to rescue us. We are promised darkness surrenders to light. Every night must end. Even the darkness of a world cursed by the social decline and immorality will submit to light. From the time of the fall of mankind, the world has only known spiritual darkness. But the birth of Jesus, the anointed Savior of the world, produces a new dawn. He was born in darkness, but the light soon followed him. We hear silence fills with worship. Amidst such an incredible event and such a change in the history of creation, silence could remain no longer. The silent night quickly became a holy night, and a holy night is a worshiping night. Even in the fields where nightly quiet takes its greatest meaning, worship loudly erupted as the hosts of heavens proclaimed his glory. The worship of heaven ended when the angels returned, but the worship of humanity into the Lord was just beginning. Whereas the angels worshiped in a chorus of song, the shepherds' worship was through seeking personal experience with the Christ and spreading the good news of great joy to all who had ears. The dawn of grace has begun.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
We witness a pure and holy light.
In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
We experience the grace of redemption.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
We know this is a special birth. There was and is nothing about this birth or this child that is anything but unique and wonderful. Dr. Charles B. Hardwick wrote, "On that silent night, God kept his promise. The God of the universe became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, moved into a stable, moved into a feeding trough. God is still keeping promises like this. Jesus still moves into neighborhoods." As true as these words are, the good news of the great joy extends even further. Jesus not only still moves into neighborhoods, but he moves into hearts. Further, he does not just seek to move there, he seeks to replace it with something infinitely better and dwell there. Now I realize some will naturally fear. Not my heart. It is far too filthy, messy, smelly, crowded and unfit for the God and Creator of the universe. To you, I reply, don't you mean the same God, Creator, and Savior of the universe who was born in an early first century stable amidst an overbursting town and then placed in the feeding trough as his first crib? There is no place Jesus will not go and bring his light, so long as he is welcome. We are asked, are your nights silent and holy? Have you truly put your hope and faith for all things that matter in Jesus? If you have, are you celebrating this new reality and running to gladly tell it to other people who will listen? You know, in a sense, I don't think we're totally wrong. I like to think that in the midst of noisy childbirth chaos, there was a sense of calm, a sense of holiness, because the power of God was upon that little stable, surrounding that mother, father, and child. You see, it may not have been truly a silent night, but it was indeed a holy night.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. And his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
was a holy night because in the birth of that little child, God had fulfilled a promise made to the people of Israel thousands of years before. God had promised to send a Savior, a Messiah, an anointed one, who would deliver the people from their oppressors and would free them from their sins. This was not a joy meant only for Israel. The prophets had proclaimed that the Messiah would come not only for the sake of Israel, but for the sake of all nations, all people of the world. On that holy night, a baby was born who would grow up to be that promised Messiah. It was a holy night because all of God's plans and purposes were coming together. The glorious night of Jesus' birth was but the beginning of the story that would lead some 30 years later to the glorious morning of Easter. The child who was born would grow up to be a teacher, a preacher, a healer, and most of all, a Savior. The child Jesus would grow up to take upon himself the righteous punishment of God for the sins of all humanity, dying on our behalf, cruelly tortured and killed on a cross. But that was not the end of the plan, of God's plan, for death could not hold the Son of God. Jesus was resurrected by the power of God. He rose from the dead. He joined his Father God in the heavenly places, and he promised that he will come again to bring final peace to our world. On that holy night, a baby was born who would grow up to be our Savior and Lord. It was a holy night because it was God himself who was born. This is the eternal mystery of God, that he is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The child born to Mary was not an earthly child, although he was human. His father was not the man Joseph, although it seems Joseph lovingly raised Jesus through his early years. The child's father was the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was one being with God. Jesus was with God at the creation of the world. Jesus was the Word with a capital W, the creative force of God. The Gospel of John proclaims this truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No wonder the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." On that holy night, a baby was born who was God himself. When we sing the beloved Christmas carol, Silent Night, we grasp in our hearts and souls an essential truth. Yes, it may not have been a very silent night, but it was indeed a holy night, a night that would change our lives forever. On that holy night, a baby was born who was God himself, who would again grow up to be the Savior, the Messiah, our Lord. On that holy night, God gave us his greatest gift, salvation. And all we have to do is accept that gift and believe. As the last verse, the Silent Night, so beautifully proclaims, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Thanks be to God for his glorious Christmas gift to us, given on that not so silent, but definitely holy night. Amen.